Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor@USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Everyone all set, cocked, locked, here we go. Your dial is set correctly to USA Prepares. Thank you for being in class with us today. Jason, thank you for engineering. Welcome, Kathy.
Hi, Vince. How are you?
Really well. You know, I was chatting with Jason just before the broadcast started. And as the introduction was playing, and I was mentioning that I looked at the clock this morning, and it was 7:56 in the studio. And in the studio, I have two clocks. I have an analog clock, you know, with a dial and a second hand in red and two black hands on a white face with black numbers, kind of like we had in elementary school. And the digital clock, I have two atomic clocks to make sure I'm on time. And the digital clock just had, you know, 7:56. And I'm thinking that children today are at a disadvantage because they don't use analog clocks, analog watches, as we did. If we, you know, our first watch would be an analog watch with numbers and a dial. And you could see that as the minute hand was approaching the hour, it was almost that hour. So 7:56 to me means darn close to 8 o'clock, okay? But 7:56 on a digital clock means, does that mean darn close to 8 o'clock? And the reason I'm saying this is I've talked to some young people, and they'll say, so how much did that cost? They'll say $7. I'll say, okay. So like 7.00? No, actually, I think it was 7.99. 7.99 to me is $8. Actually, it's more than $8 because if you had the sales tax, you know, you're looking at something closer to $8.40. I think that young children are at a disadvantage because they don't use analog clocks the way we did, and so that's one of the reasons I believe that the estimation skills are lacking in young people. Any comments about that, Kathy?
Yeah, I agree, Vince. My watch, my wristwatch is still the analog type. I don't like a digital. I like the second hand. I like the minute. Maybe it's just what I'm used to, but to me, it's a lot more accurate. And I think you're right. I think that everything digital just changes how you look at it. But if you have to, you talked about estimating before and rounding up and rounding down. I just wonder how many young kids would even know how to do that if they've never been shown it.
Yeah, and just as a side point, class, when I pump gas, I don't pump round numbers. I don't click it up to $18, $38, $80, you know, 0.00. I don't do that. Even if it were to land on 20.00, I would click it another time to get it to 20.03 or so. And the reason for that is because I've been audited, and I had a round number of charitable contributions back in the 80s, and it added up to 500.00. And at the end of the auditor said, so you know why you're here, right? I could prove every single deduction, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Catholic Church, all that, and it added up to 500. And he said, because you claimed charitable contributions of $500. I said, yeah, that's because it was $500. He said, well, it seems suspicious. So if I'm writing a check to someone, they say, okay, that'll be $50. I'll say, you mind if I make it for a little bit more than that? You know, $50 and you know, and change, $50.18, something like that. I absolutely do not use round numbers for the reason that I was audited, because the IRS considers it suspicious if you have round numbers. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Kathy, what do you have?
I didn't know that, Ben.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It took preparation for the audit, and you know, it was one of those desk audit kind of things where they haul you in. Actually, you get to haul you in, and you sit there with them, and they ask you all kinds of questions, and they'll tell you why. Okay, I see you put this number on this line. Prove it, you know, that kind of thing. And so I had all the receipts, and I had been prepared for the audit. And I prepare, by the way, I prepare for the audits while I'm filling out the tax return. Okay. I am prepared for being audited because I have everything in order, and I have my notes written in the margins of the tax forms as well as the tax preparation manuals that the IRS provides. So I have, you know, if they audit me 2.7 years later or 2 3/4 years later, I have my notes from, you know, years ago as to why I did what I did. So if they ask me, you know, why did you do this? Let me turn this form sideways, or let me turn the manual sideways and I'll read you my notes. This is why I did what I did. Because at that time, I documented why I did what I did. And I beat them on all the audits. Because I don't lie, I don't cheat, and I use their rules. So, you know, I'm playing their game with their rules. So, just a thought about round numbers. What do you have in store for us, Kathy, today?
Vince, I would like to talk about a few things. I don't know how much we'll get to, but I'll read a few of my suggestions if it's okay.
Absolutely.
One was rationing ourselves, what we use, how we use it, food. I'd like to talk about what you can do in your garden to collect things to make your own fertilizer, to amend your soil, things that are typically widely available that are thrown away, and depression survival skills, some of the things that the woman did and the men did back then. Also, I have a couple books that I would throw out there, and I have some sticker shock things. I did some shopping yesterday. I did some things shopping online as far as looking at prices, and I was just amazed. One of the things I saw, I have a little granddaughter, and she wanted me to make her some doll clothes. And it was for a certain size. It could be like a 13-inch, 15-inch, 18-inch doll. And I went to go look at a pattern, and I could not believe it. They wanted $22.50 for the pattern. Now, I'm older, but I remember paying a dollar or even, I mean, they've gone up. But I think the most I ever paid for a pattern was maybe $6 or $7. And if you watch, sometimes they'll have them on sale, like 50% off during certain holidays. But $22.50 for a pattern, I just couldn't believe it.
Kathy, we have some old patterns here at the house that Mrs. Finelli bought when she made some of her clothes back in the 70s. And her mom made clothes, too. And, you know, the Depression-era skills, right? I know what they say on them because we have them here, $2.50, $3.50, you know, in that range. Do you remember them at that number, those numbers?
You know, Vince, I actually saved some of the patterns that my mom had because my mom made the doll clothes for my dolls. And they were 10 cents, a quarter, 30 cents for the patterns. And I actually have used some of those patterns because the baby doll clothes really don't change that much. So before I'm going to pay that kind of money, I'll make my own pattern. And I've sewed long enough that I can do that. I sort of know how to take something and look at it and just make my own pattern. But I do remember those days. And everything, Vince, I mean, one of the things I saw yesterday was I bought a big 5-pound bag of frozen vegetables. 2 years ago, that was $5. Yesterday, it was $9.79. And they were out of them for weeks before then. So I'm guessing that they can't get the vegetables and or they're hard to get. And it's only going to be sporadic now. They always used to have them, but, you know, that's almost double.
So, Kathy, I'm thinking about the pattern. I'm just thinking back to the pattern for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you've never seen a clothes pattern, really what it is, it's an envelope, a paper envelope with a picture of the item of clothing that you want to make, like a skirt or a dress or a jumper, that kind of thing, or doll clothing. And so there's a picture. And then inside this envelope is a folded, very, very thin sheet of paper with an outline or several outlines that you open up, unfold, and you place it on the material, and then you pin it with straight pins on the material. And what you do is you cut out the lines on the pattern on the cloth, and that gives you the shape that you're going to sew. Now, some people would probably say, well, I've already cut it out, and so I'm not going to, no need to keep it anymore. But many people in the Depression era and who have been trained by Depression era people keep those patterns. So we have the patterns that have already been cut out from the big rectangular sheet of paper. And it's almost like onion skin paper. It's really, really thin. So I guess one of the lessons there is that you don't have to throw things away just because you use them once. Kathy?
Well, Vince, talking about that, you know, I was thinking about mentioning this, and I know there's probably a lot more men that listen to this than women right now, but I have a few patterns that I have made over and over. I make sit-up cloths for babies, and I have a certain shape, and what I did was I purchased interfacing, a real thin interfacing, and it was cheap. And matter of fact, it probably came from one of the auctions that we've been to a few years ago. And if I'm going to use a pattern a lot, I'll just trace it right on for interfacing. And then I just mark it how I'm going to use it, or write on there what it is and how many thicknesses I need to cut, or there's a little bit of directions on those pieces. And the other thing you can do is if you pin in a certain area, you can take a piece of tape if it's starting to get frayed on the corners or where you have to put the zipper. So you can just take a piece of tape and then pin right through that when you go to put it on your, pin it on your fabric. But I wanted to mention one of the things I think a lot of people don't know. And if you're going to make something and use fabric, make sure you pre-shrink it. A lot of times it has sizing in it, or cottons almost invariably shrink. So if you go to make something, what would happen is either it would shrink maybe only 5% or 6%, but it might be enough that it's not going to fit you the way you want it to. Plus, if you don't pre-shrink it, like I baste it all the way around, but if you don't pre-shrink it right, then it might twist. And also, it'll pucker if you don't pre-shrink it and you just sew it and then you dry it. Then you get those little puckers. That's what happens if you look at cheaper clothing. That's what that reason is.
All right, we'll be right back. And please tell us how you pre-shrink when we come back. Kathy's with us.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Kathy's with us. And, Kathy, so how do you pre-shrink the fabric?
Well, Vince, I will lay it out. If you have a kitchen island, a cutting table, I have a cutting table, which is pretty long. If you don't have that, you can even lay it out on your carpet, your floor, if you have to. But what I do is I will, there's an edge on the fabric called a salvage edge, and that edge does not fray. So if you have, most bolts of cotton are 45 inches wide, so it comes folded off the bolt. So you leave it like that. So it's only going to be like 22 and a half inches wide. So you, what I use, and you don't have to use this, but thread is so expensive now. I have a serger, and that machine cuts, finishes your fabric. It looks like a finished edge, so it doesn't ravel. If you look on the inside of a t-shirt or any kind of a clothing, like a knit, it'll typically have that finished edge, and that's what my machine does. And you use serger thread, which is a different thread. They're big spools. Normally, they're 3,000 yards on those spools. So I buy those when they're cheap, and then I'll just use those for my basting thread. But you don't have to do that. You can use any kind of thread. You can use it off color so that you can see it. But I take a long needle. Normally, it's a 2 or 2.5 inch needle with a bigger eye, and I will take a long piece of the basting thread, and I just lay the fabric out and make sure the edges are even. And you can kind of see the grain on the end of the fabric if you like pull a thread, but I try to line it up so that it's even. And I might have to tug a little bit to get it. Now, sometimes the lady cutting it will cut it off. So if you just use a square, you can kind of fix it yourself later. But you don't have to be that critical. But I'll take the basting and I'll start at the folded edge and I'll weave in and out. Now, you can do big stitches. You can do 2-inch, 2.5-inch hand stitches all the way through. And then till you run out of thread, you go all the way on the outside down the salvage. And when you run out of thread, you knot it. And then you get another piece and you go all the way around it. And you want to get to the top, the side, and the bottom. Then if it's a dark fabric or a red or something, I suggest just washing it plain because it may give off a dye. And then you wash it with some more in your washing machine. And you can do a real short cycle. You don't have to do a whole, long 12 or 15 minute cycle. And I can do mine on a small load. So I will wash it, put it through the rinse cycle, spin it, and then I put it in the dryer because the drying will determine how much that's going to shrink. You can't just hang it up because that's the point. You want to make sure that doesn't shrink in upcoming wearings of the fabric or if you're going to wash it. And one of the things that I would say is if you're going to do anything, let's say that you're going to use a sheet or something, and I've done this for years. I'll either buy a sheet and make my own pillowcases if my pillowcases are worn or they get stained, but I will still pre-shrink that even if I buy it because you don't know if they've done it in the store. A lot of times they don't. And so I just don't like the puckering. To me, it looks bad, but if you see that puckering, that's what that normally means. I don't know. Did I explain it well enough, Ben?
Yeah, you did. And basting, class, in my terms, would be taking the material, and if you have multiple layers of material and you want to put them together as if you're going to sew them, you baste them together so that they don't move while you're sewing them. Isn't that correct?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could do it on your machine. I have a stitch where I could do it. Where it stitches once and then I pull it. But to me, I can do it faster just by hand. I've done it for so long. But you have to knot it. If you don't knot it, then you're defeating the purpose because when you pre-shrink it, what it's doing is it's keeping those fabrics from twisting. If you've ever had a shirt that you've washed and it's twisted, like it doesn't lay flat, that's what happened. It means that when they sewed it, they didn't sew it on the grain or on the angle that they were supposed to. So.
Yeah, so now you know how to look at clothing a little more critically, class, when you are able to put the clothing in your hands before you buy it. Kathy and I'll be right back. And we're talking about domestic engineering and saving money.
An important message from Byram Healthcare. If you live with diabetes, you know how challenging and painful it can be to manage your blood sugar. With private insurance, Medicare, or Medicaid, that can all change. If you test your blood sugar 4 or more times a day and inject insulin 3 or more times a day, you may qualify to receive at little or no cost, less copays and deductibles, a continuous glucose monitor, providing blood sugar readings with no uncomfortable finger sticks. It alerts you in real time to potential spikes with your blood sugar levels. Byram Healthcare is a leading U.S. provider of continuous glucose monitors. We carry most major brands and will work with your insurance to get your benefits approved. So if you have diabetes, call a U.S.-based Byram Healthcare specialist now and see if you qualify.
800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. That's 800-535-6078.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Washington and Wall Street were optimistic this week that Congress can pass a bill to fund the government and avert a partial shutdown before a Friday night deadline. It's being reported Democrats and Republicans appear to be working around a bill to fund the government through late January or early February. Democrat Senator Chuck Schumer attacked Republicans for the impasse.
Our Republican colleagues, meanwhile, can either work with us to move the process quickly through the chamber, or they can engage in obstructive tactics that will make a government shutdown almost a certainty.
Senator John Kennedy says there's no appetite on the GOP side to have a government shutdown.
No, I don't. There's no appetite, nor should there be on either side of the aisle.
Ethan Crumbley, a 15-year-old sophomore, was charged as an adult for a terrorist attack that he allegedly shot and killed four students at Oxford High School in Michigan on Tuesday. USA Radio News.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
As Americans in disbelief watch the deadly U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, some are calling it the biggest military blunder in American history. Now one lawmaker wants accountability. Republican Congressman from Kentucky, James Comer on Fox News, is frustrated no one has claimed responsibility for the withdrawal and the billions of dollars of military equipment left behind.
Anytime there's been a mistake of that magnitude, somebody's been held accountable. Somebody in the military, someone in the administration. But in this instance, Joe Biden never took accountability. He never held anyone accountable. And from an oversight standpoint, if you just look at the American tax dollars that were wasted, the billions of dollars that we spent in reconstruction of Afghanistan is now at risk, not to mention the billions of dollars worth of military equipment that I believe is now in the hands of the Taliban. An administration will be capable. They have the most powerful military in the world. We have right now the strongest economy in the world. But I haven't seen anything out of the Biden administration that would give me confidence that they can show strength, that they can turn around the debacle, the reputation that he's earned from falling asleep at very important national summits, international summits, to the debacle in Afghanistan. Joe Biden just continues to disappoint. Due primarily to the fact that countries don't respect or fear the United States like they did when Donald Trump was president.
I'm Lance Pry. We are USA Radio News.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
It's gonna be sliding. When you go to DC, for 2 seconds,
class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
A couple days ago, I was in the kitchen talking with the boys, and I had a potholder out. And I said, this potholder your sister made in the 1990s, so it's about 30 years old. And you put it in the washing machine and wash it. This other potholder was made in 1960, about 60 years old. Your grandmother, well, my grandmother made it. Your great-grandmother made it. And this was scrap fabric, layers of scrap fabric stitched together, and we still have it. So durable durable items can last a very long time if you take them. So we are literally using pot holders made by my grandmother 60 years ago, and I was there when she made them. Kathy, any comments?
Vince, that cotton was made much better than the cotton today, and that's probably why. It was made here. It was woven better. The cotton we buy now is not the same, and I'm sure you take good care of your thing. I've made my own, too. I've taken them, and if, let's say, I want to make them as a gift for somebody, like if somebody's into, like, gardening or something, I'll get a piece of fabric, and then I'll put the batting in between it. I'll put several layers, and then I'll just put some top stitching on it to hold it together and put a border on it. And those hold up real well, too.
You know, I was looking at an article on Daily Mail yesterday. Her son showed it to me. And there's a museum in New York where Italian immigrants and Irish immigrants, and it showed how they lived. And what they did was they took, like, an apartment building, and they had one apartment, and they painted it with a color on the wall that was used back then, and they had some of the items, like the cast iron cook stove, the wood cook stove, the flat irons that were made out of cast iron that you would heat on the wood cook stove so you could iron your clothes, a copper wash bucket, if you will, oval in shape. The plates, the chair. I was looking at that, and I'm thinking, oh, it's a guardhouse, literally, because those are the things that we've inherited, and we use those flat irons as doorstops, believe it or not. I still have that copper wash kettle. I still have the cast iron cook stove that was my grandmother's from that era. No reason to throw these things away. They still do what they used to do back then. Kathy?
Yeah, Vince, I have my mom and dad's, gosh, I can never think of the name. It begins with a G. It's the iron skillet. I want to say Gibson, maybe.
Griswold. Griswold,
that's it. Yeah, uh-huh. I have that. And I have my old Revereware pans that I had before I was even married, and they last. If you take care of them, they're just made better. And I want to make one comment real quick, Vince, before I forget. The patterns, if you are looking for some, I have seen them at thrift stores, garage sales, and at our thrift stores, they're free. They don't even charge for them. If I've seen them at, like, for a quarter. So sometimes if you look at a pattern, you could look at, like, a part of it and say, I just need this part of it as a guide for a size. You may not use it exactly, but sometimes they come in handy that you don't need every part of it. But that's just a place if somebody was looking for them. I wanted to throw that in there before I forgot. So.
Yeah, well said. And we're talking about classes, a way of thinking, not just thinking about what you see, but how you can use parts of what you see. And that's what we do here at the farm. We look at all. That's why we don't throw things away, because I don't know exactly how I'm going to use it. For example, our son was making a corner for fencing, and he has these 10-inch diameter pressure-treated posts. They're about 7 feet tall, and 3 feet or so go in the ground. And we make an H out of them, take three posts, one in the center, one goes to the left. One would go at, let's say, the 12 o'clock position, one would go at the center position of the clock, and one would go at the three position. Then we have these cross braces. Now, to hold these cross braces up, what do you do? Well, nails aren't strong enough. So typically you buy a rod that is 3/8 of an inch in diameter. You drill a hole in the side of the post, and you pound it through a horizontal. You drill through the vertical and into the horizontal post, and you pound this 3/8 of an inch rod in to secure both posts together. Well, we didn't have any of those rods, pre-cut rods. So we used a broken tetter tine, and it works great. So, I mean, typically, these are things that people, farmers and others, would throw away. You know, broken steel part, not us. So we're talking about how to reuse things, recycle things, and not fill up our landfills and save money. Kathy?
You know, Vince, I wanted to mention rationing, and I don't mean it in the sense of, like, rationing, like, food stamps, what they did, but I'm talking about, like, now trying to ration even what we are using right now in the event that we need to in the future. If costs keep going up, you'll cut back. And some of the items that came to my mind were, like, you made a good comment about making your tea. You said you fill up your bun coffee pot with the water, the carafe, and you put your tea bag in there. That's really smart, because it'll sit there and it'll brew slowly for a while, and then you can have tea for the day. That's smart. And I do reuse my tea bags, because I don't like my tea real strong. So I will use them like two times. And same thing with coffee. You and I kind of half joked about you could make like two cups, and then if you still wanted another one, like I have a Bond coffee maker, so I can take the little basket out. And I could add like one more scoop, or maybe not quite one more scoop. And I have tried it just to see how it was, and it really wasn't too bad. So it really gives you about 50% more coffee. But I know coffee may be hard to get, because I believe that they had a drought and they had a problem with their coffee beans down in Brazil. And I thought that I read that they all the trees had to be cut down, so it may take a few years before coffee, you know, is going to be available, the coffee beans. So you might want to, like, think about doing that, or if the price goes up, you just have to cut back. So those were two that I thought initially, but then other things were like sugar. I don't use a lot of sugar, but I do use a little bit when I make my bread. I have to use it to activate the yeast. And like cooking oil, that, you know, if you can buy big jugs of it now, I know some of the bigger jugs have almost doubled from a couple years ago, the price. And you can use lard if you need it. You can use bacon grease. So I'm thinking that, think outside the box. What if I save the cooking oil for a bread recipe or a certain recipe that absolutely needs the oil, but can I use something else if I need to do, maybe use the oil for cooking vegetables or, you know, sauteing?
Very well said. So what you're talking about is reducing the burn rate, rationing / reducing the burn rate. And the burn rate would be, so if you've got a piece of machinery like a generator, and it uses a gallon of gasoline per hour, that would be the burn rate. So what Kathy's talking about is reducing the burn rate so you have more for later. Also, so it costs less now. And for cooking oil, we hardly use any, and Dr. Sheely has recommended avocado oil and extra virgin olive oil, which we've been using for years. So the traditional corn oil, cottonseed oil, you know, other vegetable oils, we don't use them. So if I happen to make pasta, I would put a small amount of avocado oil in the water, and I think it works better. So, but we use oil very, very sparingly for many, many reasons. And there's something else that you mentioned, the drought in Brazil. So we used to do what most people did and probably still do, and that is use those paper coffee filters. And, of course, the white ones are bleached, and they have dioxins, which is a toxic chemical, in the paper still. And then when you add hot water through your coffee maker, you release those dioxins into your coffee. So the best thing to do, if you're going to use a paper filter, would be use the brown, natural, unbleached coffee filters. They cost twice as much as the ones that have been bleached. If you buy commercial coffee at a coffee shop or a restaurant, it's going to be with the white, cheap paper filters that have dioxin in them. But I think the best approach is to simply buy one of those reusable coffee filters. It's a stainless steel, very fine mesh. And that's what we use. We bought a couple of them. We have a couple spares. They're about $5 a piece for the size coffee maker we have. And we do the same thing. So if we make a pot of coffee with this Black & Decker coffee maker, it's real simple. You push the button and it makes coffee. And it can make up to 12 cups. Well, if we make, let's say, 10 cups for the family and someone wants more coffee later, just add a couple scoops of grounds to the top of the grounds that have already are sitting in the reusable basket, reusable filter, add some water and make some more coffee on top. So it stretches the coffee grounds. You're absolutely correct. And it's okay. It really is okay. Because you don't extract all of the coffee out of the coffee grounds with the first run through. And back in the first Great Depression, what people would do, wasn't quite that. They would take the coffee grounds and they would pour them out on a piece of paper. They'd put them in the sun and they'd dry them out in the sun and they'd use them tomorrow. But they'd add a little fresh coffee to the used coffee grounds. And they would do that for a couple of days until, you know, the coffee was exhausted from the ground coffee beans. Kathy, back to you.
Vince, the other things I thought of was, let's say you don't have any eggs if you're baking. It's not exactly the same, but you can substitute applesauce and you can substitute other things. So I would say look up substitutions. They're everywhere. You can find them online. The things you'd use all the time, and I mean, why buy something that's expensive if you don't need it all the time and waste your money? And bread, like, I make my own bread. So it doesn't last that long freshly because there's no preservatives in it. But I make croutons. I always make breadcrumbs. I'll even toast it, like, for the next day, or you can make your own garlic bread if you're having, you know, Italian dinner or something that you want the garlic with.
All right. When we come back, I'll give you my thoughts on making bread. I've made bread, and I'll tell you how much it costs. So we'll continue this class on home economics.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi. I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Kathy, I just wanted to share a couple comments with the class about making bread. I've made bread. And if you, Kathy, what was a price of a used bread machine that you bought?
Well, the one, Vince, that you recommended, the Zoll Harucci, I actually got that at an auction for $80, and I really do like it. You can make a large loaf of bread. But the other ones, like I bought one of the old ones. It was a well-built, and they came out when DAC, the magazine catalog, whatever it was, recommended them. And I found one of those. I think I paid $6 for it. And I found other well-built. I would say $5 to $6 for them.
Okay. So here's the point. There are fixed costs and variable costs in making bread. So the fixed costs are what the machine costs. So Zerucci, if you buy it brand new, used to be about $280. Kathy got a used one. Great price. $80. Well-built, used $6. So how long would that well-built last? At least 10 years. Used. At least 10 years. Maybe 20 more years. You know, if you take care of it and you use a surge protector, because some of them have a digital timer. So if you use a surge protector and you keep it unplugged when you're not using it, it'll last a long time. So let's say that, let's get a $6 one or a $10 one, and let's say it lasts 10 years. So the cost per ownership for a year is $10 divided by 10 years or $1 a year. So that's insignificant. So it's $1 a year to have a used bread machine. Now, the variable costs are the ingredients to make the bread. The last time I calculated, it was a couple years ago, and it was 17 cents per loaf, 1-7. 17 cents per loaf. And that's because that includes the cost of the flour, a very small amount of yeast, a very small amount of salt, small amount of oil, small amount of sugar. Okay, so those are the basic ingredients, and the electricity. So you put all that together with the cost of electricity here in Missouri, 17 cents a loaf for bread. And that is a 1.5 pound to 2 pound loaf of bread. Any thoughts, Kathy?
Yeah, that's where I'm at, Vince. And the other thing is, get your yeast in bulk. Get it at Sam's or Costco. You could probably get it at Gordon's. And I put a little container in a Tupperware container that has about maybe 10 or 12 teaspoons in it in my refrigerator, and then I put the rest in a Tupperware container in my freezer, and it lasts. And you can pre-test it and proof it to make sure it's still working, but I've never had it, by doing it that way, I've never had it go bad. And I want to make one quick comment about the bread, and this was something that I learned over the years. What I learned when you're making your bread, like some people just keep it in a bag, but I like to keep it kind of in a square container, and I stir it with a spoon first, and then I measure it out in like, kind of like heaping tablespoons into my measuring cup and level it off. I get a better, more consistent loaf because I think it's too dense if you just take your cup and dip it in the bag. And then the other thing is, when the bread is kneading, I give it about 3 or 4 minutes, and I stay in the kitchen and I watch it and make sure it's thoroughly mixed up. And you can tell right away whether you have too much liquid or not enough. But what I found is if you can take your finger, once it's thoroughly mixed and it's kneading, if you take your finger and it barely has any dough on it, it's just a little sticky, that's about the right consistency. If you put your finger on there and you've got a whole thing of dough, it's too runny. Now, it might vary on certain recipes, maybe some of your whole grains, it might absorb. But as a whole, if you just kind of watch it for the first 10 minutes during the kneading, and I'll stand there and I might sprinkle just a little flour or just maybe a teaspoon of water if it's really banging around in the pot. But that's been my rule of thumb. If it's real dry and I don't get any dough, then I have to add a little more liquid. If I touch it and I've got a hole, it's real sticky or looks wet, you might want to just add even a teaspoon of flour at a time. It might be just enough to get it to blend right. I don't know if that's your experience, Vince, but that's been mine.
Yeah, that's my experience. And Mrs. Finelli used to feel it was necessary to supervise me so I wouldn't just grab a scoop of flour out of the bag. She'd say, no, you can't do that. You have to spoon it out, otherwise it'll be too dense in the measuring cup. So, yeah. And if you plan what you use your measuring spoons for, you can put it in an order so that you don't have to use a separate spoon for the yeast and a separate spoon for each of the ingredients. You can use just a couple measuring spoons. So think about that. And you might want to make your own bread, and it really is great. And the dogs love dried, cut, sliced bread made into little squares. And I just tell them they're biscuits. And they go, okay, that's great. I like biscuits. Sometimes I call it toast. Kathy and I will be right back. And I've been working on the book. And I've got one tip that I don't think people are talking about. It'll help you avoid buying a new car.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.